T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Happy Tuesday. If you get a chance, look at the sky. It's freaking beautiful up. I mean, the sun's up now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, earlier, it was just, it's so gorgeous out. Weird, weird weather, but just gorgeous. Enjoy it.
This morning, we had a photo. Did you post that?
Of the elevator?
Yeah.
No, not yet.
Oh.
I'll post it at 7:30.
Scott Budman this morning. Is it happening right now? He's over
not just yet
at the Apple campus, mm-hmm. the brand new
yeah,
one.
Yeah, he is.
For the reveal for the new iPhones, and he was taking some pictures of the new campus. It's straight out of a crazy sci-fi movie.
So check
movie.
This out. It's actually, I was going to do this story in the news, but it's
no, do it. I mean,
well, it's relevant right now though. So they're talking about how the big product launch, there's 3 new phones, 2 updates for just the iPhone 7. I guess that'll be the 7S, and then there'll be this new, I think they're going to call it the iPhone X or 10, because it's the 10th anniversary of the iPhone. So then they're also going to have a higher definition Apple TV, a new Apple Watch, and an update on the operating system. But it says here, the splashy event will take place at the Steve Jobs Theater, mm-hmm. Apple's new Apple Park spaceship campus, widely considered to be the final thing designed by Jobs, who died in 2011. So the spaceship
was his concept.
Right.
The one shot that I only saw one of the pictures that Budman sent over this morning, but it's like this sort of like you're looking into the side of a spaceship. Just sort of a flat white surface with a curved staircase going down out of sight and a glass elevator tube.
Yeah.
Right. It's so...
I need to look at it.
It's so sci-fi looking.
I'll post it at 7:25.
Okay.
Or do you want me to...
But he said he's going to take tons of... Isn't that so strange? It's like where... It's like a floating platform. Weird. It's just weird. But I'm sure
there's a lot of open space there, though.
Like, what's going to happen there? Is that just a lobby for people to gather before they go into a theater or something?
I don't know, but it seems like
just not furnished yet?
I don't think that they would have allowed pictures if it wasn't meant to look like that. But the first person that drops a gum wrapper there, it's like, well, there's a gum wrapper there. It's
glaring.
It's sheet glass,
mm-hmm.
white.
It's
you
incredible.
Can't miss whatever's there.
It's really neat. And so we asked him this morning, are we allowed to post that or share it? And he said, yeah, we can. And
I'm like, are you sure you didn't sign a waiver?
Right. So I guess Hooman will get that up at about 7:30.
Wow.
And then if you've got more to add to that.
Well, it's just weird that they consider that, his last design. The last thing he worked on was the actual building.
And it's kind of cool that they're doing the presentation for the first time from the Steve Jobs Theater. That's neat. This part of the show is brought to you by Amazon. If you're a Jim Gaffigan fan, now is your chance to call in and win. The Noble Ape Tour will be at the Shoreline Amphitheater this Sunday, September 17th, and you can be our guest at the show. Call now, 800-400-3697. We'll take caller number 9. Tickets are on sale now if you want to get them. Go to RadioAlice.com for the info on the Jim Gaffigan Show. At Shoreline, but call if you'd like to just win them. 800-400-3697. Amazon has a job that fits your life, seeking part and full-time associates across multiple locations and shifts in the Bay Area. Visit amazon.com/Bay Area Jobs, equal opportunity employer. Celebrity Trash is brought to you by Jumpstart MD. Call 1-855-JUMPSTART and get a jump on fall and a healthier you. So the big benefit telethon is tonight. It's a pretty impressive list of celebrities that'll be on the telethon.
And this is for both Hurricane?
It's for Harvey and Irma. It was set up in the aftermath of Harvey, and then Irma was like, hey, me too. And they said, sure, we'll put you on there. There are a million people who are going to be, and a lot of these people are answering phones. There are going to be performances. There's just going to be, appeals to the camera. Justin Bieber, Drake, Reese Witherspoon, Jamie Foxx, Blake Shelton, Billy Crystal, Robert De Niro, Sofia Vergara, Michael Strahan, Tim McGraw, Faith Hill, Al Pacino, Justin Timberlake, Travis Scott, Dave Matthews, John Stewart, Chris Paul, Demi Lovato, Diddy, Leo DiCaprio. I want to say I saw Stephen Colbert saying the other day he's going to be doing answering the phones. So there's a million people. And
but
if there's
it's
someone
only an hour long?
It's only an hour.
They're going to fit all these people in.
They're not.
They're
You're
not.
Just
gonna They're
going to
be
them
on
camera.
The phone. Oh. Right.
Okay. And it's totally worth it for them.
Absolutely.
Like, you need to show that you care.
Right. And if you're there answering phones and taking part in this telethon, there it is. Video evidence. The show airs live from L.A., New York, and Nashville. It is going to be airing from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern, which means we'll get it at 5 o'clock tonight. And it won't be hard to find. It's everywhere. ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox. It's airing on more than a dozen other networks, including MTV, BET, CMT. It'll also be on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. All over the place. Let's see. Jamie Foxx is going to host from Universal Studios in L.A. Michael Strahan will be in Times Square. Reese Witherspoon will be at the Grand Ole Opry with Blake Shelton. George Strait is going to perform the final number from Texas with the help of Chris Stapleton, Miranda Lambert, Lyle Lovett, Robert Earl Keen. And this telethon was originally organized by Texas-born rapper Bun B to help people affected by Harvey. And now it's being used to help the victims of Irma as well.
I don't know this Bun B.
I don't know Bun B either.
I feel
Cute
like
name.
He came in the news last week for something we were talking about.
Probably for the Harvey telethon. Bun B.
Oh, maybe he's from Houston.
Yeah, it's a Texas-born rapper.
That's why, yeah.
A number of the celebrities will be manning the phones taking donations. There are going to be performances. It's a lot to pack in. I suppose is there a big studio audience in each of those places as well? I'm not sure exactly how they're working that, but Michael Dell and Verizon are underwriting the entire event, so 100% of the money will go to help hurricane victims.
Cool.
What's more, Dell will match the first $10 million.
He was a guy who was quick to, I believe the number that I read was $36 million right off the bat. He was putting out there as part of the relief effort.
Yeah, you did have some big story about
so
him.
So he's clearly gone above and beyond that if he's, you know, putting
underwriting
out the money
it
for
and,
this.
Right, 10 more million he's going to match. Apple's donating $5 million. And Bun B's name is in this again. Do we have any songs by Bun B? Like,
no,
I feel like, you know, we should thank the guy. Play a little bit of his song. Thanks, Bun B.
Give him some play.
Sure.
Well, I like rap. If he's good, I'll check him out. But I don't like any of this singing rap. Give me some rap. Like, do it.
Bun B.
Trying to find a clean version.
No, don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah. Filthy versions. I like it. I like them already.
Let's not worry.
I like a good cuss word.
I'm sure Bun B will be featured on the thing tonight that we'll all watch. This morning at 5:45. Oh, you got it? Bro.
All right. Well, that was a taste.
Yeah, there's Bun B.
All right.
This morning, we came in here at 5:45, and within 5 minutes, we were talking about It.
Right.
Yes.
The movie, It. The book, It. And Vinny reminded me that there's a scene in the book that all the movie versions have just completely ignored.
Right.
Stephen King has in the past commented specifically about that particular scene in the book. So in the book, Bev, who's one of the kids and one of the adults, she does it with all the other kids that are in her little group called the Losers. So 30 years after Stephen King published It, that is the one scene that continues to stick out to many readers as horrific. Even though it wasn't intended that way, a group sex scene between children. In the original novel, the group of kids have defeated the manifestation of their nightmares that they call It and get lost in the sewer tunnels after the showdown and start to panic. The sole girl in the group, Beverly Marsh, tells her male friends the only way for them to get out of the tunnel is to do It. And what follows...
The other It. Not the It, the monster, the right. Other It, as
what
you know.
Follows?
An extended description of Beverly encouraging and doing each of the boys. It is technically speaking a gangbang. That's what it is. I mean, as you've...
Well, so listen, I know you're going somewhere with this, but I want to point out, as I'm the one that explained this to you this morning, quite frankly, the telling of the story is kind of innocent. It's really only as you're, you know, sort of reading this as an adult, you pull back and go, what in the hell are these kids doing down in that sewer right now? But it's very innocently told. There's far more horrific things happening in this book.
And that's Stephen King's point.
The gay bashing, the racism, the
child murders,
the domestic abuse. Oh, I'm not thinking about that. The domestic abuse.
Say nobody does.
The animal abuse. All that stuff is told in a way that makes you can't.
Right.
You can't.
It looks like he made a comment about this in 2013 that somebody dug up here. He said, this is Stephen King talking about this particular scene in the book. And it's an interesting take. And I can actually see his point on this. I wasn't really thinking of the sexual aspect of it. The book dealt with childhood and adulthood, 1958, and grown-ups. The grown-ups don't remember their childhood. None of us remember what we did as children. We think we do, but we don't remember it as it really happened. Intuitively, the losers knew they had to be together again. The sexual act connected childhood and adulthood. It's another version of the glass tunnel that connects the children's library and the adult library. Times have changed since I wrote that scene, and now there's more sensitivity to those issues.
Yeah.
He said, I'd just add, it's fascinating to me that there's been so much comment about that single sex scene and so little about the multiple child murders. That must mean something, but I'm not sure what.
Well, okay.
So I guess you have to really understand the book. So is he saying that them, even though they're kids, they're kind of in this adult state of mind?
I think, because I just started reading this book again. Vinny's been reading it, and I was like, oh, I should read that again. The movie's coming out. As it's revealed to each of these characters, it almost starts with them as adults. And they're each getting a phone call from the dude who stayed in the town where all this went down. Mm-hmm. And they realize that they have not thought about their childhood, nor do they have any memory of what happened. So they hear his voice, and it's almost like they wake up inside. And I think the point Stephen King is, I think he's saying that was the thing that connected childhood and adulthood, because that's how they all lost their virginity, I assume.
They all
they were all 11-year-olds, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't even remember how they lost their virginity. Like, they did not have memories of their childhood.
Because they blocked it out?
Because of what happened, I guess, and they all became pretty successful. Like, they all
had very successful
mm-hmm. lives that they now have to push the pause button on and go back to a town they haven't been to in 25 years because they made this promise in blood, etc.
That if it ever came back, they would fight it.
They would go back and fight it, and it has come back. And it has come back. So I am bummed that I don't remember that part at all, and that now I feel like I'm experiencing what the adults did in the book as I'm reading, because as you're bringing up little things that happened in the book, I'm like, because I definitely read the book, and now I'm like, what happened?
How long ago did you read it?
Probably when it first came out, like in the 80s. Hmm.
I think Stephen King is making an intellectual defense of the scene, and uh-huh. he's not wrong. I would argue, in an effort not to give anything away, that a monster that kills kids is part of the story. So you accept that this monster,
yes,
does that,
right?
And that's what they're
you
fighting.
Know that going into the
right,
book.
That's there's a monster and it kills kids.
Right.
So you're like
the societal horrors that are also happening in this book with the racism and the gay bashing and the domestic abuse and child abuse and.
But this scene in question that I brought up to you this morning and the reason we're talking about it, it snuck up on me. And as it was happening, I was like, wait a minute.
Is this happening?
What are they doing? No, baby, no. You don't have to.
Escape this with your childhood intact.
Just high five them. Do not do it.
510 says it comes back every 27 years. Someone else says, 707, isn't it crazy it comes back around every 27 years? And the movie is 27 years after the miniseries. And also 27 is...
when all the rock stars die.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Stephen
27,
King.
27, a weird number.
He's into the rock star thing. In fact, the beginning of the book, he quotes like 500 different songs.
Anyway, like I said earlier, I normally love to recommend books to people. I would have a hard time recommending this for a couple reasons. One, all the tragedies that are hard to read, get through. You get through one and you go, all right.
There's no innocence in
this book. Let's just get back to the
book.
Monster killing crap. Right. And then it's not. It's another sort of thing you got to get over. But also, it's too long. It's really long. Super duper long. Long read. You got to be really into it.
Let's talk about something completely different.
All right.
Have you ever been in front of your TV at 7 o'clock at night or whatever time, and then you flip it on, and there's Jeopardy, and you get sucked right in?
Yes,
I'd love to tell.
I wanted to tell you no, but I have. Yeah. That has happened to me.
It does. It happens. And you feel so good if you know the answer. You're like, oh, I just answered that one.
I can make that $100 one.
200. Every time.
I can do a 200. And then I'm like, oh, I'm out. 300 question.
Yeah, they get harder and harder.
Well, that's why you stick around is when you're on a roll, and it's why you leave when, you know.
You feel stupid.
I'm over it. Yeah. This show stinks.
Vulture.com talked to the head writer on the show. So these are how they write the questions. He broke it up into 7 basic steps. This is how they come up with all those questions and categories on Jeopardy. First step. A writer chooses a category. That can come from anywhere. He maybe heard an interesting fact and decided to build a category around it, or they just came up with a cool name for a category. Or as this the head writer, Billy Weiss is his name. W-I-S-S-E? Weiss? Wissy? W-I-S-S-E.
Oh.
That's his name. Billy Weiss, I'm calling him. Okay. He says, it could just be Friday afternoon. You really should write one more for the week, and you don't have any better ideas than Spanish history or something like that. Number two. The writer then writes 7 clues and submits the category to Billy Weiss, the head writer. There are only 5 clues per category on the show, but submitting 7 gives them the ability to just throw one out and keep another as an extra. They need an extra in case there's a conflict, like if one of the clues is about a subject that was just covered recently, or for whatever reason that they might need to get rid of one more question. Number 3, the category gets sent to the researchers. Their job is to make sure all the facts are correct, and there's only 1 correct answer for each clue. Number 4, the head writer puts each game together. There are 4 basic categories: academic, lifestyle, pop culture, and workplace. And then there are subcategories within each of those. The trick is to balance each show so there's content that can interest all kinds of viewers and so that it's fair to all contestants. If you're heavy on one type of material, that one contestant's strong, and that could give that person an advantage. And then the writers, number 5, they check the categories and clues one last time. They all get together, shore everything up. They make sure all the wording is good, the clues are in the best order, and the material hasn't been used too much or too recently. And then number 6, last-minute tweaks from the bosses, the executive producer, and Alex Trebek himself. They look everything over, they give notes, and then they finalize all the questions. And number 7 is the final Jeopardy and Daily Double questions are formed. All the writers bring in a batch of final Jeopardy questions every few weeks, and they go over them. For a clue to make it on air, at least one other writer has to be able to get it correct. Because obviously, if all these writers with all their, they must know everything about trivia. If none of them can answer it, they know it's too hard. In choosing Daily Doubles, they're looking for clues that have an extra hint in the wording that helps you figure it out. Because you have a little more time to solve those, so if you really think about it, sometimes you can get them.
I'm not at all surprised that they put that much work into it, because that is the show.
Right.
Although we love Alex Trebek, the show is those questions.
Right.
I'm glad you explained that Alex Trebek goes over every question. I used to think as a kid, how come he never stutters? How come he, you know? That's Alex.
Yeah.
Rapping.
Who's he doing there, though?
Who is Jay-Z?
I was going to say Kanye.
I think it is Kanye, yeah. This one.
Who is Designer?
Yeah, that's right about Kanye West.
Oh,
that's,
it is Kanye.
Oh, good. You got it.
It just sounded like Kanye.
Panda.
And I have one final note. Yesterday we were talking about Troy Gentry's fatal helicopter ride.
Mm-hmm.
It had sounded...
From Montgomery Gentry?
From Montgomery Gentry, which is a country act.
Uh-huh.
They've had a bunch of Big Hits or whatever. And they were, as I understood it, he was going to the show in this helicopter. It turns out he was just offered a ride when he got to the show. They were all there. And apparently it was at an airport. That's where the show was going to be. His helicopter ride was an impromptu, spur-of-the-moment thing. An NTSB investigator described it to People magazine as a, would you like to go for a helicopter ride while you're here? So that explains why Eddie Montgomery wasn't with him. The concert was going to be at this airport. They just arrived by bus when Troy said, yeah, I'd like to go for a helicopter ride. And that was it. They got into some trouble, and they were waiting for emergency vehicles kind of to get to where the helicopter was at. And then, I guess, as they showed up, the thing crashed. Just awful.
Well,
didn't have to go on it and did.
Yeah, but you're offered a ride. I know. And we do have blind trust. It's not like he could say, let me check under that hood real quick.
Right.
Make sure it's okay before we go up. You just...
Helicopter ride sounds great!
Blindly assume and trust that that thing, you got it here somehow, right? Mm.
Sounds fun. Sure, I'd love to. Let's do it. If only you could have just said no. Anyway, that's it for the trash. What's coming up in the news?
The Apple event, the little more Irma stuff. Robin Williams makes the news. Mm. And more after these. Radio.com.
Radio.com. Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Happy Tuesday. This part of the show is brought to you by UCSF Health. Hooman, did you want to talk about the post you put up on social
media? I sure do,
media?
Everyone. Go to the Alice973 Instagram. Our dear friend Scott Budman sent us this picture of the Apple campus this morning where at the Steve Jobs Theater there's going to be a bunch of big announcements. So we posted the pic that he sent over to us. We think that's a glass elevator on the right.
The tube in there? I think you're right.
It just looks really... It looks like something... It reminds me of that movie, that Jennifer Lawrence movie with Chris Pratt.
Passengers.
Yeah. Doesn't that remind you of Passengers?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's super futuristic looking.
Yeah.
Really neat. It's what we all thought companies would look like in the future. Thanks, Apple, for making it all real. So that's up at the Alice973 Instagram. And Scott Budman took that picture this morning. I think we're talking to him tomorrow after he finds out all the info. UCSF Medical Center is ranked the number one hospital in California by U.S. News and World Report. UCSF Health, redefining possible.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by All Natural Stone in Burlingame, San Jose, and Dublin. Since we started with that social media post from the Apple campus, I guess I'll report this real quick. This is about the Apple announcement, which is set to go down today. Our guy Scott Budman is there, and you will probably see him post about it. In fact, you'll see it everywhere here in an hour or so, as Apple is set to unveil the anniversary iPhone, which is a major product launch we've been hearing about for quite some time, which will have all of the stuff. They're going to call it the iPhone X, or that's the speculation anyway, and they say it will silence the critics who say the company has lost its innovation edge.
Really?
So we'll see about that, because the Galaxy phones, while I use the Apple system, I use the iOS or whatever it's called. That's the one I've pretty much settled on, and all my stuff runs through that. But the Galaxy phones are pretty darn good, and a lot of times you'll hear Android people argue, we had that 3 years ago.
Right.
We've had that forever. That's not new.
New to me.
Yeah, new to us, but not new to the marketplace, as people sometimes have had that for a couple generations of phones. But anyway, so we'll see the new iPhone X. Also, two other models are expected to be called iPhone 8 and iPhone 8 Plus.
Oh.
They're intended to be the updates to the 7 and 7 Plus. So instead of it being an S, it'll just be an 8.
Just a whole new one.
And that's expected to be announced today. They also say that could include some new features, such as a glass back similar to the iPhone 4, which it would help facilitate wireless charging. So we're going to see a lot of stuff happen today in terms of the iPhone world.
But this iPhone X is the one that's going to cost over $1,000.
Yes.
Okay.
And are they announcing today? I'm seeing a picture that someone posted in Australia that people are lining up at this phone store, whatever.
Apple Store.
Are they saying when it's coming out, or that's going to be announced
they
today?
They usually announce that they'll be out in a week
from
the announcement date. So the idea that people are lining up now, that's surprising. But people do line up for Apple products.
They certainly do.
We've told the story here many times. I was driving in the city and I saw a line of people. What's happening? The new iPhone.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. You can't wait for that one, huh? Okay.
Future's cool.
It is nice to have new gear. I do get excited and it's nice to see what this thing can do, but then I fall into the same habits I've always had, which are I don't use most of that stuff.
Yep.
Anyway, so we'll see the new iPhones. There's going to be a new Apple TV, they say, which operates at a higher resolution than the previous setup. This is Apple courting Hollywood, they say, as they want to bring more movies and more media through their Apple TV box. They'll also be unveiling a new Apple Watch and a new operating system and possibly more. So we'll get an update on that from Scott Budman. Or if I see it, an actual report about the announcement and not just speculation, I'll bring that to you then. Lightning and thunderstorms were striking across the Bay Area last night and yesterday into last night. Chance of showers continue today. So expect
the unexpected.
More of that. Planes are finally flying into and out of Florida again. They haven't resumed full flight load, but that is good news. I'm sure people who are stuck and want out, or people who want back in.
Right.
Your parents, you just posted the picture of the lanai, which bit the dust.
I did. It's, you know, I even say it in the post, it just could have been so much worse. Like, the lanai fell in the pool and there's a tree in the pool.
Find Sarah on Instagram, at Clarky Clark.
Clarky with an IE.
Right.
And actually, if you just go to Alice973, Alice follows all of us, so you can follow any one of us on the show.
One of the things that comes out of all tragedies are the scumbags, the looters, and the like.
They do seem to float to the surface.
This is one of those stories. The city of Hollywood, Florida, opened up its public garage over the weekend and told people, you can put your cars here for free to keep them safe during Irma.
Oh, great.
Right.
How nice.
So a guy named Kehoe Kilo. Who owns two car dealerships called Autoline, decided to take advantage of that generosity and filled up the lot with almost 50 cars from his lot. People were outraged.
Yeah.
Word got back to the city, and yesterday afternoon, they hit Kehoe with 24 charges of using public ways for private business. Each one is worth a $500 fine and up to 2 months in jail. He's looking at 4 years, $12,000. Will he get it?
No, but they'll publicly shame him. And
well, that's not a way to get people to use your business, buddy.
No, it isn't.
Kehoe.
Although people might go, oh, those cars didn't get beat up by the storm. I might have to go there and get one of those.
Yeah, I'm going
to
need that.
So he wins in the end anyway.
Maybe.
Damn it. So some would call this Giants season a losing one. There's no hope.
What would other people call it?
What
would the other thing we could call it be?
A learning season.
Rebuilding, Sarah.
A teachable moment.
Our guy Heumann was out, but only stuck around for four pitches last night.
But that's because it was a big rain delay. I can't blame him.
The game resumed at 11:15 p.m.
It actually ended at 2 in the morning. But the Giants did beat the Dodgers.
Oh! I didn't hear that part of the story.
At 2:10 a.m.
The Dodgers lost their 11th straight as they're coming undone as the playoffs approach.
That's too bad for them.
Right. The happiest and least happy states in America. Your boy was looking at Minnesota. He had an eye on Minnesota, didn't he?
He loved Minnesota.
They're one of the happiest states in our union.
Is that so?
They're ranked number one.
They're nice people.
My
younger son was like couldn't stop talking about how nice everyone was there. It was almost like he felt like he could ask anybody a question. And, you know, he's got that sort of teenage, like, folded in on himself thing going on. He's, like, super introverted. But when we were in Minnesota, he was just, like, he just opened up and he was talking to waiters. And I'm like, who is this kid?
Really?
They're really, like, remarkably friendly people. Like, you couldn't believe how solicitous they were. Like, even as we were leaving the airport in our rented car to go to see whatever school, the guy who was checking us out goes, all right, so, oh, I see you're not from where, do you know where you're going? You need any help with that? And we were just like, well, yeah, how do you quickly get to the highway here? And it was just weird. It feels weird. Everyone says hi to you on the street.
I would say I've experienced that strangeness as well in Iowa and Chicago. Yeah. But what, in defense of Californians, I would say we're busy.
Yeah.
People are busy and they got places to be. They're friendly. We're friendly people.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's not that we're not friendly. It's that you're, but we're very into what we're doing and
right,
our own
thing. Get out of my way. I got somewhere to be. What's wrong with
you? These are people who walk with their head up. They're looking for new friends. Friends? I'd love some new friends. I'll make some on the street between here and the coffee. Yeah. How many of us have them?
You know,
okay, so Minnesota's. Oh, so go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, as a Californian, I'm concerned about my fellow Californians. When I'm mountain biking, I see someone pulled over on the side. I'm like, you okay? I go by at 40, but I'm like, you okay? I'll stop if you're, you know, something's wrong with you. But as long as you thumbs up me, yep. I got to keep going. I'm trying to get somewhere.
Right.
To the bottom, to be done. Anyway. Seriously, though, I got a pump. Sure. You need some anything? No? Okay, bye.
Goodbye.
I got a snack. You need a snack? No.
Just pluck a water at him as you go by.
Well.
Here you go. I'm friendly.
I may need that water.
Oh. Pluck a power bar at him.
Anyway, Minnesotans are number one. Utah.
Number one. Happiest.
Happiest people.
State. Huh. Utah's happy.
Utah, that's Hawaii, and they're... then California comes in at fourth.
Oh.
Nebraskans.
How strange. So these are not the states I would have picked. Hawaii, I would have said for sure. Like, it seems like a pretty happy
Hawaii
place
is
to
the
live.
Lowest rate of depression. Hmm. People in Utah work the fewest hours and have the lowest divorce rate. Mm. That's weird.
Is it the Mormons?
I don't. Well, I guess we'd sort of knee jerk to that. My thought is, you work the fewest hours, but you have the lowest divorce rate. But that means you're around your people all the time. Well, that's a recipe for disaster.
Oh, stop it!
What are you doing home?
Divorce?
Oh, come on! Get out of here! Find something to do.
You know what's funny is Uzi and I. Well, I mean, your husband's working all these odd hours now, but we spend tons of time with our person, and we're, you know, do you spend a ton of time with your with Anita?
For the most part, yeah. She works. I mean, our hours are opposite.
Hold on,
though. I think you just need to spend more time with your woman.
Uzi did not spend a ton of time with her man until he quit his job left his job, whatever that was.
The elimination process. Yeah.
They get up together every morning. You know,
and then they're gone from each other for the whole day.
Yeah, but he gets
they're not
off
like
at
you.
Four
don't
with
compare
her.
The two. No one's like you, Sarah.
That's not
with
true.
The whole you get home and I'm what actually, do you guys want to do?
Right. I'm missing him.
Oh, Uzi.
I am missing him.
What days does he
Although
does he have
all
a regular...
he talks about is cars. Oh my God.
Uh-huh.
Oh, the other day I was like, I can't do this. I have to go.
What did you say about cars?
Oh, no. Oh, he loves it so much. Oh,
he's telling you about all the new loves, features on the
he
new.
He loves Mercedes-Benz Autobahn. He enjoys it. So I'm going to learn today. Today I'm going to learn three new things, okay? I'm going to come back and tell you. And I'm like, great. Have a great day. Sell a car. Oh, stop talking about the cars.
Hey, so...
I swear I'm going to kill myself.
So does he get a piece of the action? How's that work?
Yeah, he gets a piece of the action.
You sure about
so
that?
Funny.
I am, yeah. every car salesman gets
that's
a piece.
That's so funny.
Hey, I have a question. What happened when you said, I can't do this anymore? How did that resolve itself?
I walked away. Went upstairs.
Did he follow you?
Not immediately.
I haven't told you all of the three things I learned today.
But a few minutes later, he forgot what I just told him and came upstairs to follow me and tell me more about
it. She's not like you, Sarah. She's not like, oh, are you playing a song and siren-songing me from the other room into this room to sing next to you for
you
the
know
next
what?
Hour?
I feel your pain. We're both into the music, though. If John, listen, sometimes I can tell he wants to talk about football, and I'll lead him there, like, yeah. Hey, so, you know, blah, 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 and ask him some stuff just because I know he wants to vent. I don't need to understand any of it. And so sometimes someone needs to vent and you let them do it. But when if I walked in every day and all he wanted to talk about was Tom Brady's whatever, yeah. I mean, that would drive me effing crazy.
You know what's going to work for me? You want to talk cars? Put something in my hand. And I'll sit there and listen.
His wiener?
As I sit.
Is it a wiener?
What do you... Oh,
oh
no,
she wants
a drink.
Get me a drink.
Put a drink in my hand and I'll sit there and listen.
I was going to say, that's pretty good. Just put something in your hand.
I know. She was holding... It looked very...
Zip.
Sexy.
Okay. Boy, this really has gone my way. Talk about cars and get a, you know...
So do you guys talk about anything else besides cars?
I know.
Well, that's his life now, Carl.
Yeah, that is his life now. Exactly.
Back to my point. They're not like you, Sarah. They're not.
Yeah,
they are a good marriage and they're a good fit for each other.
Right.
But no one's like Sarah and John where they're like, first we'll work in the yard and then we'll get lunch together and then we'll play some songs and then I'll go to bed and you'll play video games until all hours. Or watch football.
That's pretty much what happens.
Right? I know.
Sounds fun, doesn't it?
I know. Well, no. It's good for you guys.
Yeah, it does sound fun. Yeah,
most nice. Of us are like, we can't. I'm going to leave. I need a break.
Walk away from this.
A little breaky
poo. We have a lot of things in common.
A little space.
Maybe what you need to do is just start really learning about Mercedes and getting really.
No,
you know.
Absolutely not. Do not do it. That's the worst idea.
I mean, every time we get in my car, he's like, so. Do you know how to work this? I'm like, can you find my HD two channels that you misplaced somewhere? Like he pushed some button, I can't get
misplaced them.
I can't get my channels back.
Everyone, the joys of marriage.
Yeah, our
you
text number is 800. I'll finish the story later.
I love you, John.
You do.
Oh. Our text number is 800-400-3697. 510 says, sounds like Yuzi's in the market for a side piece.
Oh. Someone who doesn't like. Talk about cars.
Just put something in her hand.
She'll listen to you talk
before
about
you pitch her.
I can't believe that's what you guys thought.
Well, you held up the water bottle with your hand like around it aggressively. Yeah, you're like, just put something in my hand.
I want to grab two hands.
408 says, this will include a glass back. That's the same as something from like the four models back. # innovative? Question mark? Yeah, I don't know,
don't
man.
Me.
I you know. I don't
iPhone
know
users
you.
Will be like, I've never seen anything like it.
We are all the church of Steve Jobs, aren't
Samsung
we?
Samsung people just shake their heads.
I love it. Here's my $1,000.
Can I have two, please? What is it all about? What is that all about?
Can you lock yourself in a room if you need to just to barricade and escape?
Are you still talking about that?
Are you still back
I'm
in there?
Yeah, I'm still stuck in her house. That's
Someone's
exactly
calling
right.
Me a wet blanket, Captain Buzzkill. No, see, I mean, I listen as much as I can, and then...
It gets old. It does get old when someone's really obsessing about something. And
he loves it. Good for you.
I don't love it. Bad for me. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to tell you about Richard Branson's new book. This is a little bit about it. He's written a ton of books, but he's got this new one, Finding My Virginity, because he's done Losing My Virginity, all these different titles of books. And then we have a Harry Styles song.
Oh, because it's Virgin Air.
Because Virgin Air,
okay,
right. So
I'm
there's
like,
all these virginity
things. What is this obsession?
Things.
I got it.
Yeah. And more after these.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.